So, Tanya, last night I pulled my car in my driveway and forgot to shift into park.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, destroyed.
So much on your mind.
I know. I think we're all preoccupied. Waiting on news like election returns combines two unpleasant states, uncertainty and powerlessness, and that adds up to torture.
Yeah, that's how Charlie Warzel describes it. He wrote a piece in the New York Times. He's an opinion writer at large, and he joins us now with some tips about reducing our anxiety. Charlie, welcome and happy Election Day.
Thanks for having me.
So you spoke with a number of experts who explain why this moment is so agonizing. One psychologist even described it as being strapped into a roller coaster as it climbs up a hill and there's nothing you can do to stop it. Why is waiting bringing us so much anxiety? I have a few ideas, but I want to hear from you.
Well, you know, this is a situation in which we actually don't have a ton of agency beyond voting. And obviously, it's election day. Go out and vote if you haven't. That is something you can do. You can help people, you know, at the polls. You can provide emotional support. But broadly speaking, this election is something in which we are, you know, one piece of a very large machine, and we kind of can't stop it. And that's sort of why the roller coaster metaphor works so well. You've gotten into the ride, and it's going to happen whether you like it or not. So that lack of agency is really where our brains start to go into overdrive, and we ruminate, is what all the psychologists told me. And that's just, we chew over the same thoughts, and that just leads to building anxiety.
Or not putting your car in park, which I did. And you quote Mother Jones editor-in-chief Clara Jeffrey, who said the entire country is awaiting a biopsy result. I mean, that tension of not knowing the outcome. But you also say some people choose defensive pessimism, like, okay, I'm not even going to build myself up for disappointment. There's no way that this can win. But others brace for the worst. And there's a difference. What's the difference?
So this is the biggest insight that I got speaking to a bunch of professionals here. Defensive pessimism is a tactic that we employ in situations where we have a lot of agency. So take, for example, like a big test coming up. You say, oh, I'm not ready. I'm going to fail. And that actually tricks your brain into studying more. So you actually take more action. But in a situation like this, where we don't really have agency, there's not much more besides the voting that we can do. It actually sends us into this spiral. And so what you end up feeling is you end up feeling bad in the beginning, and it doesn't actually protect you emotionally if you get the bad news later. So you're basically setting yourself up for two valleys of disappointment, potentially, rather than just one. So in this case, bracing for the worst, preparing yourself to say, okay, if the news that I don't want comes to pass, what am I going to do? What, you know, how am I going to take care of myself? But then remaining optimistic is actually a way to save yourself two disappointments, and it's a little bit better.
You know, it's sort of counterintuitive, because oftentimes we might say to each other, I'm going to just expect the worst so I'm not disappointed. So this way of thinking kind of goes against the way human nature works. So as we wait for results, regardless of the outcome, what can we do to stay sane?
Well, this actually speaks to what a lot of the psychologists told me, which is we are always sort of undermining our best interest. Our brains are always kind of working against that. So one thing that you can do is you might feel tempted in the next, you know, days or hours to cancel a lot of plans, to just sort of stay with the news, whatever happens, follow it obsessively. But staying busy is actually the best thing that we can do. When we're just sort of passively consuming the news, it allows us to do that rumination and sort of chew over the thoughts again. So don't cancel plans, actually schedule plans. And that's tough in a pandemic, but if you can, you know, find people to talk to at least, or if you do have, say, that doctor's appointment, don't put it off. That's one thing that you can do. Another thing that you can do is to find something that is small but meaningful that you can look forward to today. Say, I'm going to go out and get my favorite sandwich, or cook my favorite meal, or watch my favorite episode of my favorite TV show.
Ordering a cake today.
Exactly.
Boy, Charlie, this is such a reminder of why people who actually plan something for this day related to elections, like they volunteer, you know, they go to another state where their work might, you know, have more of an impact than in the state they live in. they plan to be involved civically. And we always hear they feel much better because at least they were doing something. I just want to mention, as we close here, you also quoted Kate Sweeney, who's a noted professor of psychology, University of California, Riverside, quite the academic. And she had perhaps the most scientific observation, which is if you feel like crap, you're not alone. You know, just the notion of, as you said, call somebody.
That's right. The day might mean different things for different people, but nobody isn't experiencing this day today. And you can take solace in that. So find a buddy, find a loved one, communicate your thoughts, don't bottle them up, and hope for the best. Mm-hmm. Be optimistic.
Charlie Warzel is an opinion writer for the New York Times. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.